Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity to share your word. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We are so grateful that you have made us able ministers of this new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Father, we're indeed very grateful. Speak through us. Help us to hear what you have to say to us. And help us to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. And then 16 to 23. But let's just take it 11 to 23. Oh, let me start from 9. Laborers with God. Now, in verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take it how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man amongst you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Praise the Lord. This evening, we're trying to look at the foundation. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So clearly, without dispute, one fact is revealed. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And now, there was a curious statement made by the psalmist in Psalm 11. Psalm 11 at verse 3. That was David, very troublesome time. And David said, "In the Lord I put my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" He says, "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And so we ask ourselves today, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And who are the righteous? That's a question that we as believers know, that Jesus Christ our Lord has been made unto us righteousness. And so today, every believer in Christ is the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We're looking at the foundation. Why did I say we're looking at the foundation today? I was privileged to go to a seminar with Brother Ernie. And when we got there, we were a bit late because I was delayed, and so Brother Eni was ready on time. But when we got there, the man was talking about foundations. And this had been something that the Lord had laid on my heart over a period. And the newspaper which I read, on the way there, one of those free ones in the train. And the story was of a lady who was married to Jamie. Now, Jamie is a very successful footballer who had now shifted a career. And his career was now into television and something else. And this wife was an ex-singer, famous star. But now, she said she had been invited for Strictly Come Dancing. And in that Strictly Come Dancing, she realized that she could never go back to being a wife to her husband. She knew that she was just tired of that life. She wanted to make it in the world on her own. She said in herself that she had always been jealous of her husband. She felt that she had living like, she mentioned one old television program in the UK, the something, Stepford Wives, that her life was just like the Stepford Wives. So she was no longer going back. And she said the husband understood. She said it wasn't all about a spiral staircase and a big mansion, that she wanted to be independent. And these days we see everywhere the foundation is shaking. It's practically being destroyed. Same-sex marriage, we're taught in schools. Children dress, boys can now wear girls' clothing. So the question is, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This woman with a happy marriage, a successful husband, 20 years of marriage, was working out on it. But she is not a believer. Now, David said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, the righteous must have a foundation. And if that foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous then do? But then, immediately we know that this word which we've read here, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. And that settles it in my heart, and should settle it in the heart of every believer. Who is your foundation? Jesus Christ. Now, he goes on to tell us that Christ, it says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And in another part, it says, he that does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And so, let us now find out, what is our Lord Jesus Christ himself? What is he saying about this foundation? Let us go to Matthew. Matthew 7:24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, this is the foundation himself speaking. He says, every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, everyone who hears the word of God and does it is the wise man. He's building upon the rock. And this rock is Jesus Christ, and this rock is the word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life. That life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Let us go again and look at it in Revelations. Very quickly, I'll just read what Revelation says. Revelations 19, 11 to 14. And I saw the heavens opened. The writer saw it. And I'm sure he didn't see it physically. He said, I saw the heavens opened and beheld the white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean. So we see here that the name of Jesus Christ is the Word of God. So the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And he tells us that on him we build our lives if we're believers. He is our foundation. Now, to get it a bit more clearer, he says in verse 9 of John 1, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man is lighted by Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, because he made everybody, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, as many as received him, have we received him? Now, in verse 6, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So as many as received him, they now are born of God. God has children. And if you are born of God, you are a child of God. Peter repeats the same thing in 1 Peter. He says, let me just read that quickly again. 1 Peter 1:23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we see that the word of God is alive. The word of God is Jesus Christ. The question today for the believer, who are you living by? Who is your foundation? Now, that woman had no foundation. She was easily swept away from a marriage. She was unhappy. This morning we heard the message, rejoice, rejoice forevermore. Now, if I am born of God, born by the one for whom all things were made, the one by whom all things were made, the express image of God, the one in whom everything consists, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. What should be my reaction? That's why we call it the gospel, the good news. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, is available to everybody, believes in him, will not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't come to condemn. He is not here to condemn. The news is that no matter how bad you've been or how you are, whatever, this is the good news. There's a gift available to you. And it says, as many as received. But the good news again, in 1. It says, having given us his only begotten Son, will he not with him freely give us all things? So, each believer has been given all things. Why? Because God has given you the one by whom all things were made, and for whom all things were made. Now, why am I here? Why do I live? What do I live for? What is my purpose in life? That is, again, foundational. Because when you know your foundation, then you will know the purpose for which you were built. You will know the purpose for which you live. But it's so easy to be swept away, especially in these times. Look at what it says. It says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That's in 1 Corinthians, which we started with, verse 3. We are laborers together with God. That is the purpose. That is why we are made. Where the workmanship of God, it says in Ephesians. Created in who? In Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is why we're made. Now, it says, this is our work. Now, for us to do this work effectively, what did God do? God himself dwells in us. We are his children. And then, to make it more beautiful, he says, all things are yours. Let's go to this letter to the Corinthians was written when they were having issues. Some said, I'm for Apollo. Some said, I'm for Paul. And so there was what was coming to the church was division, strife. And we know from the word that where there's strife, there's every evil work. And that's what the enemy does. He plants these things. So this woman, who was wealthy, who is in a good home, for fame, she has walked away from marriage. She has walked away from bringing up good children. She has walked away from knowing her role as a wife. And now the society is changing the roles. What would the believer do if the foundation is destroyed? Now the believer is going to have his children go to schools where different things are being taught. What will the believer do? And it says, every man's work will be tested by fire. So, not only are you a laborer with God, you are going to have your work tested. What is the work you are doing? Now, he says, let no man deceive himself. That's in verse 18. Instead, it says, if any man defile the temple of God, because you are the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, imagine if the enemy wants to destroy you, but God is protecting you. Now, the joy here is that we can rejoice forevermore because we know. It says, rejoice. Why? Because even if you are going through trials and tribulations, count it all joy for the trying of your faith, worketh patience. And when your faith is fully tested, it's going to give you something that is even more precious than gold. Now, it says, we should look at the example of Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, the goal, there is another world. He did not care for the shame and everything. He went through it. So that is our example. So when things are good, we're rejoicing. When things are bad, we're rejoicing. Why? Because we have a hope. Now, it says, let no man deceive himself. You see, you can't deceive God. He says, don't say when you are tempted of God. God doesn't tempt any man. But he says, if any man amongst you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Can you be wiser than God? No way. So come out straight. You have blessed me with everything. Now it says, therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. This is the good news to the believer. You have Christ. Christ himself is dwelling in you. What are you looking for? He's the one by whom all things were made. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The unsearchable riches in Christ, he says in another place. Now, Christ is our sufficiency. But let us go on. He says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Brothers and sisters, the scripture says, who can redeem his brother? No man can redeem his brother. Only God can do it. But this same God has blessed each believer with everything. Life is the believers, death is the believers, things present, things to come belong to the believers. And even the ministers, he says, I, Jesus Christ, am amongst you as one that serves. Then the Paul and Apollos, Paul says, I'm amongst you. He says, now, we preach Christ, and we, your servants, for Christ's sake. You see, they are the servants of the children of God. For who? Christ's sake. So, if Christ himself is amongst us as one that serves, then Paul himself says, it's Christ we are preaching, not ourselves. But we are servants. Why? Because of Christ. Now, why will the believer have all these things and still walk away? Let's go back to our Lord Jesus Christ. In saying in Matthew 7, in telling us that whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. You see, before he gets there, he starts in verse 7, 1, judge and you be not judged. 7:1. 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks find, and everyone that knocks shall be opened. Then he goes on to say that you, as human beings, as wicked as we are, which of you will his child ask for bread and he will not give him a stone? I will give him a stone. He says, even as wicked as we are, you don't do that. How much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? He didn't say money. He said the Holy Spirit. Now, he goes on in verse 13. Enter in by the straight way. Narrow is the gate. And it says, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. It's not really going to be that easy. It's not going to be that easy. Now, he tells us of beware of false prophets. And this is what our pastor is always preaching. Beware of false prophets. You see, he's coming somewhere. He's promised you that anything you ask for, he will give you. He's told you not to judge. Then he now says it's a narrow path. Then he now tells you beware of false prophets. But then to tell you how to know those false prophets, he says, by their fruits you shall know them. And in verse 6, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's not about doctrine. Praise the Lord. It's about Jesus Christ. And then, Jesus Christ is the doctrine. He's a person. He's the rock. He's the word of God. And so, I know everything, but I'm not doing it. There's no way. He says, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, is the person that will enter into the kingdom. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So even these things they are doing, casting out devils, doing this in the name of prophesying, it says it's iniquity. Why? Because you are not doing the will of the Father. But I'll come to that. Then he goes, says, whoever hears these things of mine and doeth them, doeth these things of mine. So we find here that Jesus Christ is telling us clearly there is a condition attached to what we're saying. And when he was attacked by the Pharisees, in John 7:16, it says, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, whether I speak of myself. So to even know the doctrine, you need to do the will of God. So there is no half measure. And brothers and sisters, this is the key. We now know the foundation. Now, to do or not to do, that is the question at stake. This is Jesus Christ. God has given him to me. I have received him. He's living in me. What am I doing with him? Am I rebellious? He says we're born of the seed of God, indestructible. He says, in him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's our sufficiency in this life and in the life to come. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We're raised up, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. What will make me give this up? There's an adversary. He will go to any extent to make sure you don't know these things. And he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So my people perish for lack of knowledge. But then in Amos 3, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? This morning our pastor preached, says, take my yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a responsibility you need to know. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the choice you make? What is the choice we all make? This is our foundation. This is the person who begat us. We're born of God. Am I going to say, Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've done? Like the song we sang, Living for Jesus. Or am I going to say, there's something I need which Jesus cannot give me? I will use the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness in the sight of God. Jeremiah 17 says, he that does not trust God, he will be ashamed. These are categorical statements. There's no room for any confusion about it. So we're going to ask ourselves. Jesus himself says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth. He says, if you do it, you will get the results. If you don't do it, you will get the results. So, foundation. The believer's foundation is the word of God. The believer's foundation is the life of God. Now, you remember in John, he says, Jesus is the word of God. But he goes further and says, in him was the life. That life was the light of men. So can you imagine yourself in a hospital on life support with an oxygen mask? Then you now pull it off. Then you now put it back again. Then sometimes you just pull it off away. What are you doing? You're playing with your life. And people will say, God is love, God is love, God is love. God can't destroy. God doesn't destroy. He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Inasmuch as you decide on 1 second to go away from God, like the prodigal son is still loving you, you decide to tell one lie, like Brother Any prayed today. You decide, I will commit this sin. I will not repent because I'm too proud. I will not go and ask that person and say, please forgive me. I will secretly go and tell God, God, I did this. But you see that person every day. Why? God is telling you that you are proud. You can't go and tell him. So quickly, let us look at how we started. Adam and Eve, they were born by God. And they were to live by the word of God. But that disobedience to the word introduced death. How can a believer today believe that I will disobey God's word and death will not be introduced? Jesus Christ says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done unto you. So it's the same thing he says there before saying, he that doeth my word. It's the same thing. The message is Jesus Christ is the life. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You are going to make a choice. Romans 6:16, know ye not that whom you yield to, you become slaves to. either righteousness unto eternal life, or sin unto death. You choose. In the Old Testament, it says, I've placed before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. He tells you what to choose. In this New Testament, it says, sin will not have dominion over you. I've put all things under the feet of Jesus. He's in you. Satan is a defeated foe. You are in Jesus Christ. All things are under the feet. He's the head. We are members of his body. Praise the Lord. Why should I turn away from this? What do I want to gain? So you see now, this is the spirit of the last days. Again, Paul deals with it. Jesus had dealt with it. He said, false prophets, deceiving in wolf's clothing, they will come. He says, but you will know them. Why? Because by their fruits. Don't listen to what they say. Watch the fruits. The doing will bring results. Now, let's quickly look at Timothy. He's raised twice here. In 3, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Brothers and sisters, this is that period. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Don't be surprised if they hate you or they turn against you. Once you stand up for the truth, you are a target of the Satan and his agents. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God. You see, another choice is made there. Then it says, sorry, it's my sticker. It's, having a form of godliness, a form, but denying the power thereof. No power in the life. It says, for these sorts are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse thoughts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, he raises it up again. He says in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers, they get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, that person who is deceiving is being deceived also. Why? Now, let me show you the answer again. Go back to Corinthians 1. Deceiving and being deceived. You see the answer? It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among seemeth to be wise, that's 3:18. If any amongst you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness. For with God it is written, it's foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. So I'm so good at manipulating. I'm so intelligent. I'm so bright. I'm deceived. And I'm deceiving others. Because God takes the wise in their own craftiness. Now, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. In 1:20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? So it's not about, it's God in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, these are the times. Now there's a strong urge to make people say, I'm not responsible for what I do. No, what God has done, he has not made zombies. He could have made all of us, you can never disobey if he wanted to. But he started with a choice. Don't eat this tree. But every other thing is yours. All things are yours. But you must obey God. Now, we see Jesus. He says, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ. Even though he was equal to God, he did not deem it as something to be attained, but was obedient even unto death on that cross. So the key is obedience. And so the psalmist in 119:93, he says, I have respect unto thy precepts, unto thy word, because by them You have given me life. In the word is the life. He's the vine where the branch. The minute you start disobeying, you are draining away from the life. You are cutting off the life source. You are pulling away your gas mask, your oxygen mask. One little lie here, one little manipulation there. Little by little, you are going into death. Rebellion unto death. And you will now say, God killed you. No. God has given you everything. You chose to go on that path. Praise the Lord. We'll conclude. Ephesians 3:17. This is Paul's prayer for the saints. It says, for this cause, in starting from 14, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because God is love. May be able, you see, for you to be able to understand it, you must be rooted and grounded in love. It says, to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know that love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Brothers and sisters, can you imagine you and I being filled with the fullness of God? This is God's promise, that we might be filled with it. Why should I turn away from this? I will give everything for it. And so he has told us what to do. He says we should continue in him, steadfast in the faith, continuing steadfast in the faith. The just shall live by faith. And this enemy will try, like he did to Adam and Eve, to get us away from this. What is he trying to get us away from? Our life source. So, brothers and sisters, we encourage each other this evening. No matter what comes, let us stay on that foundation. No matter the apple, the temptation that the enemy brings, we should say, no, I know whom I have believed. Paul said, an angel of God, whom I serve, and whose I am. May we all be able to say that in Jesus' name. Amen.